Thank you for joining us on this episode of Eminent Teachnology with Dr. Rochelle Newton and Drew Stinnett, where we examine current and emerging technologies through the lens of diversity and equality.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a new episode of Eminent Teachnology with Dr. Rochelle Newton and Drew Stinnett. Today is Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Although, I guess by the time you're hearing it, this is probably like a week or so late, but I hope everyone had a good Valentine's Day. Today, we have an Ask Drew topic that I think will be pretty fun. It's going to be a little bit different from our usual super technical, well, I guess we're not super technical, but we get pretty technical in our conversations. So I'm very excited for this one. So, Rochelle, would you like to introduce what this Ask Drew is about?
Absolutely. So we always ask Drew because, as you all know, Drew is simply brilliant. So we always have these wonderful topics to ask Drew. But today I thought we'd talk about time management, and specifically how do we in a technical space deal with time management? And there are a lot of ways we can deal with time management. And because we're always so busy, there's not a lot of time in the day to really take advantage of what we learn and how we go about our day. So I thought Drew presented this topic to us, and I thought we would talk about it in the way that in many cases we don't always think about time management. But Drew, you presented some very interesting things, specifically from sysadmin. I wanted to start with that first, Drew. Why from the lens of sysadmins as opposed to any of us in the technical space? So why sysadmins first?
Yeah, so it doesn't necessarily have to be sysadmin. One of the books that really helped me early in my career is a book called Time Management for Systems Administrators, which I still like use multiple times a day as like a reference to how to do things. And I'd never really thought about time management being a thing specifically intended for system administration, especially when I started my career. When you're young, you know, you sort of think like, oh, time management is, I'll come in, I'll do as much as I can that my boss says I need to do, and then I'll leave. Like, there's not much more to it. But in reality, that's not really the case. And we as like system administrators, as well as I guess now like the terms are SREs, or what is that, site? Oh, I forget what SRE stands, service reliability engineers, and all these like new fancy terms for sysadmins. There's just like a lot of little tips and tricks that I personally found incredibly useful. And I'm always sort of on the lookout for stuff like that. And I'll throw out the biggest one that I think has had the biggest impact on at least my career is this sort of the idea of effort versus impact, which I never really thought of before. And how that breaks down is when you're trying to figure out what task to do next, look at like how long it's going to take you to do and how big the impact is going to be, and really just think of it as it's going to take a long time or it's a short time, and the impact is going to be for a lot of people or little people or a few amount of people. And if you prioritize the things that are easy to do and impact a lot of people, you've already got like a big win. So for me, whenever I get a task, I always put it in those categories, like, is fixing this going to help a lot of people or just a few people? And is it going to be really easy or really hard? Easy, impact a lot of people, that's great. Like, do it right away. All the way down through, if it's only going to impact a few people and it's going to be really hard, it's not that you don't want to do that, but you can always deprioritize things like that. And just having this sort of like ranking of how to look at your tasks, I've always found to be really helpful when it comes to system administration type things, because sysadmin stuff is like keeping the lights on, right? It's all sort of behind the scenes. A lot of times people don't even really know something's wrong, that you exist, until something's wrong. So it's hard prioritizing tasks. So that's sort of like the first thing that I always do, and I recommend people do, is, you know, find those things that are going to be easy to do and impactful. Not everything's going to be easy or impactful, but just sort of like try and chop the tasks up like that. And that's always really, really helped me, at least.
I think one of the interesting things in all of our lives, and whether it's work or otherwise, is time. Time is a a four little letters, but it's a big word, right? And understanding time and management has always thought of ways to understand time. And one of the things people have thought about is meetings, right? So pop-up meetings, stand-up meetings, you know, how to make meetings less. Over the years, we've talked a lot about why meetings are necessary or needed, right? For years, meet to meet, right? So you would have meetings with the same group of people, and then an hour later meet about another topic and another topic and another topic, as opposed to finding ways to condense meetings. You know, there have been a zillion tools to talk about ways to better manage time. And the reason why I ask you about sysadmin is because this is not just unique to the people who do the back behind the scenes work, but everywhere, because you're not only just behind, sysadmins are not just behind the scenes, but they're in the front of the scenes too. You have to meet with your stakeholders. You have to understand what your management wants. You have to understand what your colleagues work. So you work in the front and the back, and understanding how to manage time is essential. You know, you talked about impactful versus essential tasks, right? So task, you know, you prioritize your task, right? What are the things that absolutely need to get done first, right? Yeah. And so what are those things, right? And then what happens if something goes awry in those tasks, right? So let's just say you have this thing that must get done this morning, and then something goes wrong with that, you know, how that delays other tasks and what's the impact of that. You know, so how do you deal with things like that? So let's just say you prioritize, I've got to get these four things done first thing this morning. And I've got a meeting at noon, let's just say, or a meeting at one, and something has gone wrong with one of my one of those important tasks, and something has gone wrong, and they're like the dominoes, right? You need one to go, then two, three, and four, but one thing, something has gone wrong with one. Plus, you've got a meeting that may or may not be about these important tasks. And so how do you deal with those kinds of things in time management?
Yeah. So a lot of it is making estimates on how long you think things are going to take to complete, and then ideally finishing them early. And I'm going to put like a caveat on there and say, like, but not too early. You don't want to do things too early as well. And I'll jump in like for the too early thing. Doing things too early is also a problem that I've had, where let's say we've got to a bunch of servers to upgrade. Well, if you're upgrading servers too far ahead of when they actually need to be upgraded, you may be wasting your time, because the actual service may go away before that original support ends. So like, you don't want to be, you're going to get into like real churn if you're doing everything too early, because some things either get deprioritized, so they're not quite as important, or they may go away just completely. So I want to add that in as a caveat of like, you don't want to do everything too early, because if you're doing everything too early, you're going to be doing work for, you know, for nothing, or things that are going to be deprioritized or completely gone by the time you would normally do something. So I'd throw that out as a caveat. The next thing that I like to do is try and get an estimate of how long you think it's going to take. So if you have a test that you, if someone says, hey, Drew, like, we want you to replace this server. In my mind, you know, I think, well, replacing the actual server is only going to be about 15 minutes, but I'm not going to tell this person, hey, I'm going to replace it right now and it'll be ready in 15 minutes. What I'll probably say is like, okay, well, give me, in my head, I'll think, well, it's probably logically going to take me a day. I'm going to have to deprioritize some other stuff. You know, I might have meetings, got to eat lunch, got to actually be at work. So, you know, I think a day is a good basis. And then Zoom just gave me a bubble. That was very weird. I guess I did a weird hand motion and it popped something up on the screen.
We do not like Zoom right now. It's behaving badly.
It's very, very weird. So I like to get like a reasonable estimate in my head, and then I'll always double it when I tell the customer, like, how long do I think it's going to take? So if I think it's reasonably going to take a day, I'll say, give me 2 or 3 days, because there's always going to be something that's going to come up as well. Like, no matter how well you plan for something, either something else.
In project management, that's called slack, right? Putting that slack in there, anticipating something is going to go wrong.
Yeah. And something could be.
inevitably something always goes wrong. There is no such thing as a clean project. You know, you got to replace that server. Something is going to go wrong in that project. In technology, there's no such thing as a clean project. Never.
Exactly. And the thing to also remember is it may not even have anything to do with this server that you're replacing. It may be that, let's say, like COVID hits, right? And now priorities shuffled up, thrown out the window. Like replacing a server is not something anybody wants to do, as like the entire organization is being, reorganized to work from home. Like that's just not something. It changes the priorities around, I guess I'll say. So something always comes up. And even the simple things can, be problematic. Like maybe that server was used for something that you had no idea about and you hadn't taken that into account when you were thinking about replacing it. And, there's tons of stuff. So I always like to double up what I'm estimating. And on the same, I guess the other side of this coin, if I'm working with somebody and they tell me something's going to take a week, in my mind, I change that to 2 weeks and think like, okay, they said a week, but give them 2 weeks before I start doing any like bugging on when it's done, because it always takes a little bit more time. And if you do it quicker or if they do it quicker, that's just a bonus. But setting expectations, I think, is important.
Yeah, I think that I would say one adjustment to that. I would not automatically say 2 weeks. I would, based on what I know about my work and what normally happens, I would give a legitimate estimate of how long it would take. So I wouldn't say just add 2 weeks. I would just say, okay, the customer or the stakeholder said, hey, this I want a week. I would say, okay, well, I'd go back and do a little bit of work and I would go back and say, here's what this realistically is going to take. It may take 10 days. It might take a week. It might take 3 weeks. You have to go back and do some homework on your end and say, okay, here's what I know. Here are the resources I have. Here's what I know. But I want to go back and talk a little bit about, so through our work together, you have always come to us with wonderful topics to teach us about things, and a lot of times time has been a constraint, right? Because people have other things to do. Sometimes we're doing it during our lunch period, or you have another thing you have to go do, so you don't have a great amount of time. Can you talk a little bit about training and time? Like, how do we don't have time to go to a class, right? We may not have financial resources to go to class. A lot of times these vendors put on classes and they want them to take weeks. Can you talk a little bit about training and time?
So what I like to do, and I generally prefer, I guess I would call it like self-guided training versus going to training. Although I mean, I think they're both like very important and have their own places. What I tend to follow is like, I'll call it like learning on your own or exploring, just with either books at home or websites at home, things like that. And I consider like training to be part of like my work, right? Like
Absolutely.
if you're not learning new things in this position or this industry, then like you're not doing your job.
Right. You're not growing, and you're probably going to die on the vine. You have to be constantly exploring and learning more. And I think one of the things about this podcast, we're always reaching for more. We're not just stagnant. We're always trying to learn more.
So what I like to do is just I will block off like calendar time when there's something new that I want to learn. So if there's a new technology that I want to look at, I'll start blocking off chunks of my calendar and just like making a meeting with myself that says like, study blah, right? Like build a Kubernetes project. Maybe the Kubernetes project is going to do nothing but like, serve jokes or do something stupid. But setting out the time to do it and then sticking to that time is, I think, very important. I'm a big fan of, I think they call it defensive calendaring,
Yes.
where, so like, in jobs, everybody wants to meet all the time, which is, it becomes a pain, to be honest. But so to get around that, what I end up doing is, every week I will block off time on my calendar for the next week that I'm going to spend either working on existing projects or doing training on new technologies. I won't block out the whole day, like entire days for it, but I'll do like an hour or two every day, each day of the week, which still leaves time for like plenty of emergencies to pop up, plenty of meetings, things like that. But at the same time, you have a specific block or of an hour to every day to actually go in and learn something. And that's really the only way that I'm able to keep up with stuff. I won't say that I don't learn things outside of work, but I don't dedicate time to learning things outside of work. Like sometimes at night, if I'm just looking at my phone or, playing around on the laptop, I will look up new things and start digging in a little bit. But I try not to do that mu as much if it's not like, real work time, because I think that's what a big piece of what work is for.
But Drew, can I ask you? I'm going to go back to my question. So, during my time at Duke, one of the things that you did for us was these pop-up trainings. And I just want you to talk about the importance of these pop-up trainings and the amount of time that's allocated
Oh,
to
yeah.
the pop-up training. So it wasn't like it was, weeks and weeks. It would be, maybe once a month, it would be these trainings that you would bring to us. So, we talked about Go, we talked about Kubernetes, we talked about some of the other things. And I would just like you to talk about, like, one, the time you took to prepare these trainings for us, and then the allocation of time for training. And then I want to go back to Lark and some of the other training tools, that time management tools that
Yeah.
you use.
So for those, and that was a good learning experience for me as well, because a lot of these, we'll talk about like OKD and like Splunk and just some like sort of random technologies. And I was not like an expert on any of those technologies. I would consider myself like a pretty good user. But one thing that really helped, I think, for our group was just bringing in the actual experts. So we'll use like OKD as an example. I think I brought probably Nate to come and talk about that a little
Did
bit.
yep, you did yep.
And he is our like Kubernetes expert. He's great at everything. But y'all never knew Nate, right? Like I don't think Nate was somebody that you all
He was
had
not
direct
in.
contact with.
He was not in our in our in our in our window. He was not in our view. It wasn't someone we had experience with. The same for the guy who developed what's the tool that tracks at assets.
Oh, Planisphere and Sean.
Planisphere, right? We didn't know him, so he was man in our wheelhouse. It was quite a few people that you brought to us that we did not have experience with. That through you and the learning tools you brought to us, we got to know these things. So yes.
And one of the reasons, well, I like doing it for a number of reasons, but like one, I think, very impactful reason was because we'll use Planisphere as an example. Like, y'all don't know it. I know it a little bit, but Sean, like, he knew it 100. I mean, he built it, so of course,
Right,
like,
he
he
did.
knows everything. So, like, one task is I've got to build up good karma with Sean so that then I can ask Sean to come and speak at this group. And I think that benefited everybody, right? Like, I was comfortable enough with him at this point to say, like, hey, can I bring you to this, group on campus where you can talk about this thing? He was comfortable enough with me to say, like, yes, that's cool. I know Drew's not gonna like bring me to this group to get, eaten by the lions, or I don't know what, tech people are very introverted, don't like going out to talk to folks very much. But we had a relationship, and same with everybody else I brought, that I felt like very comfortable asking them to come. And for them, it's an hour to talk and maybe an hour or so of preparation. For me, it's an hour of listening and 15 or 20 minutes of preparation, because I'm really just asking them. And it ended up being, is the right word, symbiotic. Like, it was a good like symbiotic learning opportunity, I think, for everybody involved. Like, I learned stuff, the people bringing their technology learn things because they're getting a new group of users that have no experience with it. So it's like, good things for them to learn. And then the group itself is, they're getting the fire hose, they're learning
Right.
all sorts of stuff. And like, for as impactful as those were, like, it was not a ton of my time to do them. Like, I probably spent more time driving over to campus than preparing for it or spending time at campus to do those. So it was very time lax, I guess. Time, the opposite of time sensitive. I feel like I didn't have to spend a lot of time on it.
I think one of the important points I want to make from that is like, for those in the workplace, one, what Drew said, one, relationships, one, so you have relationships with people that you build, right? So Sean and a great number of people, so Duke is a good size campus, especially in their technical skills. And like, so there's central IT, and then there are schools that have IT and other groups that have IT. And so bringing those groups together to collaborate with each other, one, that's one good thing you can do. So if you're in an organization like that, where you can collaborate with people that are not just within your wheelhouse, because even Drew's a central part of OIT, but he works in this place where Sean is in another place, and so they're not all in the same group, but to reach across the aisle and collaborate with each other, one, make good relationships. So in case you need something, you have a question, you have a relationship with someone you can go ask. So that's a good use of your time. Two, you get to learn something that you may not have known. So how Sean developed Planisphere, the effort that went into it, you get to spend time with someone who has that mindset. So that's a good thing. And three, learning. You should always be learning. And if there are people who are willing to share their knowledge with you, you should be trying to learn that. And then once you learn something, you should be trying to share that. And what I want you all to get out of this conversation with Drew. So Drew and I are very close. We have a very strong relationship, but Drew is very, very smart. And to be able to learn something from someone like that who is willing to share their knowledge. So you who are beneficial of this podcast, you learn something every time you hear Drew talk. He's always sharing some great knowledge with you. And so if you're not taking advantage of that, that's on you. But the use of the 30 minutes you hear from this podcast is a time for you to learn. So Drew, I want to ask you about the next thing on your list, and that's LARC. Can you talk a little bit about LARC and what the benefits of LARC are?
Lots, so I'm not familiar with Lark. Did I?
That was your impact to an
Oh,
impact effort matrix.
So the impact effort thing, and that's what I was mentioning at the, and I think Lark is the site that listed the definition for that.
It did.
But that is the that's the method I use, and I talked briefly about it when we started, but it's effort versus impact. So impact can be high or low. High impact meaning it impacts a lot of people, low impact meaning it only impacts a handful of people. Effort is how much effort it's going to take to put something. So is it going to be a high effort or a low effort thing? And if you think about that as four quadrants, you always want to focus on things that have high impact and low effort. Because you're not going to have to spend a lot of time and you're going to get a high gain out of that. So that's what I mean by the effort impact. I guess it's a philosophy. But I try everything I see, I try and think like, is it high effort and low, high impact, low effort, high impact, high effort, low impact, low effort, low impact, low effort. And I think about it as like, do those at the top first and then work your way down, hopefully doing the high effort, low impact last or never, because those are, I consider those like homework. It's not something that you probably do need to do at some point, but it's not something that needs immediate attention.
Yeah, okay. Well, it sounds like to me that there are different tools that are available for managing your time. But if I had to guess, some of that has to be with your own discipline, right? How well you are disciplining yourself, right? So when you're at work, especially working remotely or working in a hybrid situation, you have to have some ability to control your environment, right? Because it's so easy to get pulled in different directions, right? Because, I think what Drew said was really important is managing your calendar. So what you have blocked off on your calendar, so it's so easy for people to throw things on your calendar, right? Put a meeting on your calendar, and before you know it, you're already, your day is already taken up, right? Because trying to do all the place, I think that it's important that you have good management that understands what your skills and abilities are, and you have a good ability to communicate with them, right? So management says, okay, well, Rochelle, I'm only going to do this. I'm only going to allow this to happen for you. So that's one thing. But then once that's clear, is you managing yourself. I remember you're talking about your four quadrants. There's this thing that talks about self-aware, awareness of you and all your environments. And if you're not aware of yourself, you don't have good control of yourself, you'll find yourself always in chaos. You're always, flittering about trying to figure out what to do. So time management is so important, so making sure you're doing self-care, right? So make sure you take those breaks, right? So get up from your computer, go for a walk, go get some fresh air, go have a cup of coffee. Always have a cup of coffee. Drink some water. Those things are important. But then also what you said, allowing time in your schedule for things, prioritizing your impactful tasks and, making sure you get those things done. But also, I think having in there Slack, you always have to have Slack. Mm-hmm. And I think that, if you think about all your work like a project, you will almost always, if you have a start and a completion date and you have that, those built-in times where things can go wrong and that you're always accommodating for that. And then the most important thing is communicating to those who assign that project to you. Yeah. If you assign that project to yourself, you have to talk to yourself about this, So, okay, Rochelle, you said you're going to have this done by, a good example of that is reading a book. So I usually read a book a week. I can read a book in a week. So
that's a lot of reading.
And I'm not talking about a 10-page book. I'm talking about a 300 or 400-page book. I can usually read a book in a week. And I make a commitment to myself that I'm going to read this book by the end of the week. So I start it on Sunday, and by the next Sunday, it's closed and done.
Nice.
But that's a commitment to myself. I have all kinds of excuses. Something comes up. I need to go. This place that might cause me something. It's always something, that distracts from that. Now, that's... Yeah. Being committed to what I said I'm going to do. What do you do with all those things that come in and interrupts your time?
Yeah. So what I do, the first thing I like to do is always have it written down somewhere, like the things that I need to do, because keeping them in your head is just like too much. And it's too much energy to try and remember them. And it's too much energy even to just store them, right? Like your brain only has so much space in there. So what I like to do, and I use a tool called Task Warrior, which is a command line task thing, but there's a million of them. There's like Microsoft To Do. There's, countless number of to-do things. So I keep everything that I need to do in that list. And then anything that I do, even if it wasn't on my list, I'll mark it that I did it on my list. So let's say server catches on fire. I get the fire extinguisher, put it out. Like that was never on my to-do list for the day, but I do log it as something that I did do so that, a month from now when someone says, "Hey Drew, didn't you find a server on fire and put it out?" I could at least go back in my notes and say like, "Oh yeah, I did that on, this day around this time." So having everything set out for you, I think is good. And I usually look at that first thing every day to see like, hey, what do I have on my list? What's going to be due soon? What have I not even started? And then we start getting interruptions. And interruptions are definitely hard. And the rule that I try to stick by is if somebody asks me for something and it's only going to take me like 5 minutes, we'll say less than 5 minutes to do, I'll just do it. Like, forget whatever I'm doing. This person contacted me. It's going to take me less than 5 minutes to do it. I could add it to my to-do list and like put it off until the next day or the afternoon or whatever. But if it's only 5 minutes and I've already been interrupted, I'll probably just go ahead and like do it right there. Like it's no big deal. I will add it to the list of things that I've done. Like on my, I consider it like a post to-do list, like a to-done list. Like, hey, this person walked over and I helped them with X, Y, and Z and it was completed. If it's something that takes longer than 5 minutes, I'll usually ask for like a little bit more information. I'll add it to my to-do list and I'll give the person an estimate and say like, hey, you asked me to do this. I'm probably not going to be able to do it today, but I think I can get it done by the end of the week. And then every morning I come in and I see the stuff that I've said that I'm going to do by the end of the week. And I can usually knock that right out.
And what's really good about that, your to-do list, is when it comes time to do your performance review, you've got a whole list of things you could rattle off to your management.
Oh, 100%, Rochelle. Like it is, I no longer dread putting my like self-evaluations together because now all I have to do is pull up everything that I did for the last 6 or 12 months, eyeball, look for some important ones, copy paste, or copy the whole thing and remove the stuff that I don't care about. Like it's great for performance reviews.
And it's
I think,
good for time management, Drew. It's good.
yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think one trick there too is you have to watch out for distractions because even when we were at, in the olden days, 4 years ago, people could walk by your desk and ask you things. And that was it was a big distraction, but it wasn't the end of the world. And it actually, required somebody to make effort to come over to your desk. So it wasn't, people weren't walking by 24/7 all the time while you're at work. But now that we're remote, you don't have to walk to anybody's desk anymore. You just have to, type a little message to them. And
In
then
Teams or in some kind of message. So that's as distracting. That's probably even more distracting than somebody walking by because you get this either this little ding or this little pop-up, and it's persistent. At least, if somebody walking by, then they walk off. The little pop-up in Teams or whatever it is, it stays there. But I have a little thing in the thing that makes it go away after a few seconds or something where you
and
can miss.
absolutely. And because it's so distracting, like I've disabled those notifications. So like if I want to be concentrating on something like during these, this 1 hour of focus time that I set for myself, in the morning or afternoon, I'm not going to look at the Teams messages or my email unless I actively go look at it. Like maybe I've been working for 20 minutes and I want like a little break. Maybe I'll check Teams and go on there then. But I'm not going to be inundated with pop-ups while I'm trying to focus on something because that, you can't get anything done if you're just if people are pinging you all day long. And then, they can still be pinging you. You're not seeing the notifications. But then, after 30 minutes or an hour, whatever the time you set aside is done, you can go in and start patching all that stuff up. And then similar to like don't do things too early, a lot of times people figure things out on their own like immediately after asking you the question. So a lot of times I'll see a question come in. I'll know that I won't have time for it, so I'll say, we're going to put that aside for right now. I'm going to come back to it. And then an hour later the person says, oh, I actually figured it out on myself by myself. And that like it helps you because you don't have to put a lot of energy into that. And this person, the person asking the question, is probably going to have a better future knowledge of it because it's something that like they went out and researched on their own without sort of just getting a yes or no answer from you.
Right. That's great. I think that time management is one of those things that we'll probably be talking about when the dinosaurs come back again. They'll be discussing time management. It's long to hunt down something to eat in this big old giant planet. Time management is huge, and leadership discusses it almost every single meeting, how to do better, how to have less meetings, how to make teams more productive. And no one has solved it. No one has solved it. I think what you said about the documentation is brilliant because if you write everything that you're doing in the work perspective down, the performance review would be much simpler for you because we all dread it. What is the most important thing you did? What were the problems you had? You got to go back and try to remember those things. If you've got it written down, you don't have to remember those things. You can just put it right in the sheet and send it on. So that's great. That's one great thing. I think the other thing is managing yourself, making sure that you don't spend too much of your time chasing rabbits, right? That you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing and when. You know when to stop. You know when to stop working. I will say one of the best things that's happened to me since I have been retired is I know how to turn my phone off. For years, I was on my phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When it beeped, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm on it responding to a meeting, a phone call, Sunday morning, during breakfast or in church. I've had to step out and respond. I did not know how to put it down. I still am a type A, severely type A personality. But I finally know how to put my phone down. I don't check it 24 hours a day. I'm not look. Sometimes I don't even know where it is.
And that's hard to do. Like it's a hard habit to break. I was the same way, like early in my career, like, we get in pages like not constantly, but pretty often. And I would always feel like compelled to act on them right away, even though like most of the stuff can wait till the next day. Like if somebody really needs you, they'll get a hold of you. Like
Well,
it's hard, but you gotta do it.
being a manager in the law school, I had so many things I was responsible for. I remember my manager said, "You need to stop doing this. You're making the rest of us look bad." Who says that to somebody? But my manager said that because no one else was as responsive as I was. But I felt like I had a responsibility to always make sure everything was working as it should. But time management is critical to being successful because if you're giving too much, as my manager said, you may be making others look bad. If you are taking too much for yourself, you know, if you're pulling too much away from yourself, you're actually, you know, stressing yourself out, and stress is not good for you, you know. Yeah. So you need to know how to do time management. I'm glad you brought this topic up, Drew. It's very important. And I think some of the tips that Drew gave us are critical. You know, you have to figure out how to make it work for yourself. But I think documentation is everything. I think building in Slack into your project. Because if you say, if someone comes to you and says, hey, I need you to build the server, and said, okay, I can have it in a week, and you're 10 weeks and you still don't have it, that makes you look bad. Yeah. So allocate the amount of time you think it needs. Allocate the resources you need to do that. So, you know, if you need $1 million, if you need a staff of five, you know, allocate the amount of resources you need to do it. Because every time you fail in your project management, it looks bad on you. It looks bad on your team. So, you know, you need to go back in. So somebody says, hey, I need you to do this. Go back and do some research before you say, okay, we can have that in a week. Don't do that. Think through it. Make sure you have the amount of resources. This has been wonderful, Drew. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the only thing I would add to that too, I guess there's a couple of things, like also be communicative, right? Like, so if I say like, I'm going to build you a server by Friday and Thursday hits and I haven't even started on it, let the person know, like say like, hey, just a heads up. Like, I know I said it was going to be Friday, but X, Y, and Z have come up. I'm actually going to need till Monday or Tuesday. And it's sort of better to do that. I think it's always better to communicate too early instead of too late.
Yep.
And the other thing I wanted to say, like, I've definitely heard that, like, or the phrase, like, you're making us all look bad. I sort of think of it from, I guess, a slightly different perspective. And it's like, let's say, for some reason, I look at my email at eight at night, and I see something that I want to respond to. Now I won't respond to it because I don't want other people on that mailing list to feel like they're expected to answer mail at 8 o'clock. At night either, right? Like, it should be a, like, maybe I'm doing it, but I don't want to set that example. Like, I don't want other people to think, oh, well, Drew checks his email every night at 8, so we should all be checking our email every night at 8 either, as well. And what I've heard of other people doing, and I've actually found that this is with teams, what some people will do is say it's after hours, they'll set their team's message to not send until the next day. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. So one day I got, a Teams message from somebody popped up. It was like right at 8 o'clock. And then I saw them like walking to their desk. I was like, how did you send me that message while you were like walking without your phone? Like, I could literally see them when the message came in. And he was like, oh, well, I actually saw that, like, you know, last night when I was going to bed, but I didn't want you to think that, you know, I'm up all night looking at this. So I just wrote the message, set it to send the next morning, and then it sent the next morning. I was like, "Ooh, I haven't used that personally yet, but I plan on doing that in the future if I ever need to."
I agree with you. I would just say my one exception to this is, and I don't know whether this has changed, but it used to be there were rules in tickets and things like that. So if you got a ServiceNow ticket, if your team member, so let's just say one of your reports got a ticket and he or she did not respond to it in the value that was set for that ticket. So let's just say you had to respond to that ticket within 3 hours. Three hours came, you didn't respond to it. And the next person in that queue didn't respond to it and eventually makes it to management.
Yep.
So I had no choice but to respond to it at that time.
Oh, yeah.
I react to it. And there were emails that had the same thing, you know, certain emails from certain members of the faculty or certain members of the management, the leadership team. You know, so it wasn't that I was sitting there responding to a ticket from somebody saying, hey, I bumped my toe. You know, that wasn't what I was responding to. I was responding to things that were escalated to me. But I agree with you. You know, if it was sent to a generalized group, but by the time it got to me, it was my management was on the people that I reported to and people that he reported to were on that email. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I think that there are times where you are right. You know, you wait until the next day or you wait till daylight hours or whatever it is to respond to it. But there are some instances where that's not possible. I think that's, again, time.
Yes.
But you have to know What is that? What's the old Kenny Rogers? You got to know when to hold them and when to fold them.
Yes.
It's that
Yes.
kind of thing, you know? So,
Yeah, I totally agree.
yeah, I think
Well,
time management is important.
yes. And speaking of time management, I think our time for today is about done. So we'll go ahead and wrap up. But thank you, everybody, for listening. Shoot us any questions, concerns, anything at all to imminentteachnology@gmail.com. And we will talk to you all next week.